Today, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is in the middle of the passage where Paul is talking about his own nation, the Jewish nation, and how many have not believed in Jesus Christ. And even to this day, many in the Jewish nation have not believed in Jesus Christ. And Paul gives some words of instruction, some words of understanding, some words of help. But the first thing I want you to understand is that Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, to help them remember that the word is near. All right, and I'm going to go back and read this passage for you. This is a passage that comes from Moses. I want you to listen to these words. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult, for you are beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven, so you have to ask. Who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. The book of Deuteronomy is most likely at least three sermons of Moses that are put together into one book. It may have been more, but most likely it appears to be about three sermons that he shared at the end of his life before they go into the promised land. And he's reminding them of the laws, the commandments, the ordinances that God has asked them to live. And he tells them in this passage, it's not too hard for you. It really isn't. And it's not far off that somebody needs to go get it and bring it back. It's already here right in front of you. You already have the word. Now, I want to use this in two different ways because I want to connect it up with this Romans passage. One, the very word of God, the Bible, we have access to it. You have it, and most people can spend time reading it if they so choose. You have it. It's available to you. It's in our pews. That was one thing that Tom asked me yesterday. He looked at me and he said, do you have Bibles in your pews? Because he needed a Bible. And then he just kind of looked at me and grinned. And I said, no, Tom, we're a church. We don't have Bibles. He's a great jokester. You can ask Billy when you get a chance. Billy will be glad to tell you how much Tom's a great jokester. Yet she's off with the children now. So go find her after service and ask her about her experience at Tom Stocks. The Word of God is very near you. You have access to it. And I would imagine to say most households have a copy of the Bible. Not all. but most households do. And I'm willing enough to say that most of you probably have access to more than one Bible. You have a couple of different ones. Some because it's good to keep, because it comes from somebody in your family. I have my grandmother's Bible. And then I have what I believe was her great-grandmother's Bible, which was the family Bible with all the births and deaths and everything in it. It's very precarious nowadays to open that thing up because pages will come flying out of it. It's in such disrepair in some ways. But I venture to say most of you have a Bible that you could pick up and read. It is very near you. You have access to it. Now, I'm going to use this in another way, as the Gospel of John uses this quite often. When it speaks about Jesus Christ being the Word, Jesus Christ is the Logos, as the Greek says, L-O-G-O-S. The Word, Jesus Christ, is very close to you. Every moment of every day. The Holy Spirit, and once you become a Christian, lives within you. Paul writes in the 1 Corinthians, in that letter, he says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God lives in you?" One of the reasons that we should take care of ourselves, if this is the temple of God, should I not take care of the temple of God? I know it's a struggle. It is a very big struggle. I know that and I understand that. But if this is where the Holy Spirit lives, but now let me translate it for you the way that Paul actually writes it in the Greek. I don't know whether you knew or not, but Paul is Southern. Because he writes, "Do y'all not know that y'all are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God lives in y'all?" That's actually what Paul writes. Because Greek has a plural you. Okay? English doesn't have a plural you that looks different than the singular you, unless you're from the South. So Paul actually writes, "Do y'all not know that all of you together are the temple of God? And that the Holy Spirit of God lives within you?" The Word is very near you, because Jesus says, "I will send the Holy Spirit so that you can be reminded of everything I taught you. And that so you can receive wisdom and guidance and understanding." Folks, the Word is very near you. Both the physical Word of God and the Word of Jesus Christ. It's not hard to follow what people or what God wants people to do. Now, let me say something about, because what Paul says here, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, I want to define, what does it mean for Lord? Jesus is Lord means this: he has a growing control in a person's life. If someone is Lord over me, then when they tell me, "This is what I want you to do," I say yes. Now, we didn't grow up in that kind of system, a monarchy. We didn't grow up in that. So this is kind of hard for us to understand and grab a hold of sometimes. Because we grew up in a democracy where we all get a vote and everybody rules. Right? To be Lord means that as I grow as a Christian, Jesus has a growing influence and control in my life as I grow spiritually. And for Jesus to fully be my Lord means that when Jesus comes to me and says, Tim, here is what I would like for you to do, I say, yes, Lord. Even if it's outside my comfort zone. Even if it's something I don't want to do. Even if it's something I dislike. Because Jesus is my Lord, I will never tell him no. And if I do tell him no, then he's not my Lord. That's what that means. Now, it's awful hard for us to start there at that point. I come to Jesus Christ and I accept him as my Savior. It was a second decision for me to declare Jesus is my Lord. That happened years later. And I've told Deanne oftentimes, the Lord asked me to do this and I cannot say no. I cannot say no. That's what it means to have Jesus as Lord. And I want you to think about that. How many times have you heard God's voice clearly that this is what you should be doing, this is what you should be about, this is what maybe you need to change in your life? And at the moment you go, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. Do we have examples of that in the Bible? Lots of examples of that in the Bible, don't we? Probably the most famous one that I think about sometimes is Jonah. God says, Jonah, I want you to go 1,000 miles this way and tell people that they need to get their lives right and be saved. And Jonah says, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. So he gets on a boat and buys, I'm going to say, a first-class ticket. For those of you that were there yesterday, he bought a first-class ticket to go 1,000 miles in the opposite direction. His plan was to go 2,000 miles from where he was supposed to go. Maybe you know the rest of the story. Maybe you think you know the rest of the story. Because, by the way, at the end of the book of Jonah, Jonah does eventually do what God asked him to do. But he does it with great resistance. And his sermon is probably the worst sermon recorded in all of Scripture. He walks into the middle of the town and he basically says this, I'm paraphrasing. He basically says, if y'all don't get your life right, God's going to kill you in 30 days. And that's the end of his sermon, and he walks out of town. That's all he says, one sentence. And he goes up and sits on top of a hill and pouts. And God comes to him and says, is it right for you to pout? Yes, it is right for me to pout, because I told you if I went and gave them your message, they'd get saved. And they're my enemies, and I didn't want them to get saved. And that's why I tried to go 1,000 miles in the opposite direction. And God said, is it right for you to pout? And there ends the book of Jonah. We never find out if he stopped pouting. And by the way, that's the part of the story we don't like to tell kids. Because we want to tell them the part about where Jonah obeyed. But Jonah pouts. And as a spiritual practice, sometimes I have asked people to write what you think would possibly be Jonah chapter 5. Did he stop pouting and live in the goodness of God the rest of his life? Or did he sit on top of that hill and pout until he died? Think about that. Because I think that's the point of that story. The point of the story is not all the other things we bring out of it sometimes. The point of the story is, did Jonah finally let God be Lord and live that way? Or did he sit right there and say, Lord, I don't like what you did. You saved all the people I hate. And I told you that would happen if I told them about you. Go and read the book of Jonah today. That's how it ends. We don't know whether he finally made the decision to accept Jesus, to accept God as Lord. Yes, he did do what God wanted to do with lots of resentment and lots of anger. Jesus is Lord means he has a growing control in a person's life. A growing control. 20 years ago, did I accept Jesus as Lord the same way I do today? No. It's been a growing influence over 20 years. It's been a growing influence over 30 years. It's been a growing influence over 40 years. Because I think it was back in 1981 or 1982 that I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And it was the early 90s when I accepted Jesus as my Lord. And it's been a growing thing ever since. And it should be for you. You see, the first step of faith is declaring Jesus as Lord publicly. Publicly. What does he say? If you can speak it with your mouth. That doesn't mean just in here. It doesn't mean in here. If you can say it. Can you say Jesus is Lord? And I'm going to seed what we're going to sing here in a minute, because Jerry picked out the last song for us to sing today is I Surrender 10% of my life to Jesus. That's how the song goes, right? No. 50%? No. 100. I surrender all. Is that what you're doing in your life with Christ right now? Are you surrendering all? So as we, when we go to sing this, I want you to think about that. If somebody were to grade your life, how would you actually be singing the song to be true for the way you're living? I surrender 10%. I surrender 50%. Or I surrender all. You see, you've got to be able to say that Jesus is your Lord. You've got to be able to speak that and tell other people that. But there's also an internal belief in proclaiming Jesus as Lord. There's something internally that happens. Okay? There must also be an internal belief in proclaiming Jesus as Lord. It's got to be there. And it needs to be something that's very deeply set within your life. It needs to be something that you grab a hold of and you say, I will never let this go. Never. And when my Lord comes to me and asks me to do something, because I hold this so deeply within my heart, I will do it. I will answer the call. I will reach out during this opportunity. There's got to be that internal thing. You see, for a long time in my life as a Christian, I used to think if I did all the right external things, I'd be a good Christian. If everywhere I went, I did as Jesus would do, all these external things, that eventually it would affect what's inside of me, and I'd get there. Folks, it's got to happen inside. And part of me in coming down and proclaiming Jesus as Lord publicly, that's speaking something that's already happened in the heart. And you have no embarrassment of saying, yes, Jesus is my Lord, no matter where you are in the world, no matter where you stand. Jesus is Lord. And that's because something deep-seated within you has happened. That internal belief. Now, I'm going to define a word. Belief does not mean acknowledge. I can walk out on the streets of this town and I can ask people, do you believe in God? I acknowledge there's a God. That's not what the Greek word believe means. Believe means to trust in, to adhere to hold on to tightly, and to not bend when the Lord asks you to do something. That's what believe means. It doesn't mean having the knowledge of. Okay? Because you'll see all kinds of surveys. Do you believe in God? And people will say, yes, I believe there's a God. And then you can turn around and ask, how many of you live your life carrying out what God wants you to carry out and do what God... Very few people are going to answer that question in the positive. And how do I know that? Because I'm going to say to you, look at how empty churches are. Some of you drove past houses today that the cars are still in the driveway. Do you know what that means? That probably means they're not in church. I've had people at the previous church tell me, everybody I know goes to church. I don't know anybody that doesn't go to church. And then I ask them, how many cars did you see in driveways as you drove in? Well, a lot. Well, what does that mean? It's the difference between I believe, I acknowledge there is a God, and I believe, I hold on to, I grab a hold of, and I won't let go. And I trust that God's going to do what God says God's going to do. That's the difference there. But I'm also willing to declare this, because I think Paul's saying this. Both declaring and believing must be an ongoing event. Declaring and believing. If you can declare Jesus as Lord, then that should be an example from your life. And people should be able to look at your life and be able to see that, because you're living it more and more and more each day. Remember what I said? Jesus is Lord means that he has a growing control over your life. And I have purposely used that word control, because people don't like that. Nobody's going to control me. I make my own decisions. Jesus is Lord means you're letting him control your life. And you know, that's not a bad thing. Because God only wants the best for you. Would Jesus ever ask you to do second best? What do you think? And some of you might come to me and say, but it cost so much for Jesus to be Lord. I'm going to ask you, what does it cost you for Jesus not to be Lord? What will you miss out on because Jesus is not Lord? What would it cost you for that not to happen? Think about that for a time and a piece. Because you're going to miss out on a lot. that God has planned for you that's fabulous, incredible, fantastic, because you're not willing to let Jesus control your life. So declaring and believing must be an ongoing event. Every day I got to get up and declare it. Am I going to let Jesus be my Lord today or not? Or am I immediately going to get out of bed and kick the cat? Am I going to let Jesus be Lord of my life? Or am I not going to tell people about how to be saved? Because some of the people you meet today may never have heard the story, and they won't be alive tomorrow. Are you going to declare Jesus as Lord? Are you going to believe it? Are you going to trust in it more and more and more each day? So I ask you this question. Do you have a belief in Jesus as Lord? Not just Savior, Lord. Do you have a belief in that? Proclaiming and believing Him deeper each day. Deeper. That's what it means to grow spiritually. Coming down the aisle, joining a church, and being baptized, that's only the beginning of the story. That's a birth into a new world. There's a growing process after that. And a lot of people in churches never grow. Because they say living as Jesus as Lord is too hard. That's difficult. Yep, it is. I agree with you. But are you willing to miss out on it? Are you willing to miss out on it? Or are you willing to go deeper each day? Let's pray. Lord, it is difficult to follow you as Lord. First off, our culture, we didn't grow up believing that way. We grew up believing and being taught that we're individuals and that we can accomplish much on our own. And then someday we come face to face with the fact that we can never achieve salvation on our own. And some people turn away from that and continue to walk as though they got it made. And others come to you and say, I need a Savior. And I think, Lord, even then fewer come to say, I need a Lord. Tell me what you need, Lord, and I will do it. Tell me how you want me to live, and I will do it. Even if it means I have to change things. Lord, may we come to that place. Because the truth of the matter is, there's people around us that are dying that never took the step to believe in you as Lord. And by the scriptures, we know what that means. So Lord, those of us who believe need to be proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. We need to be living it fully, completely, trusting in you, adhering to you with incredible stick-to-itness. Lord, help us. to really and truly proclaim you as Lord. And be your servant. And serve this world even where people don't deserve it. Because, Lord, we didn't deserve what you were willing to do for us. Thank you, Lord, for listening to our hearts. Change and mold them. Make them anew. That we may be truly daughters and sons of yours. That sing your praise. That bring glory to you by the way we live our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.